Good afternoon. It's a bit difficult to present as the last presenter. I'm going to talk a little bit about the demand side of public health. Two of my colleagues talked about some supply side, and two of us are obviously discussing the demand side. So just as an introduction, the Partnership for Transforming Health Systems, Part 2, is a DFID-funded project that started being implemented in 2008 in Nigeria. And it was a health system strengthening project that was focused on maternal and child health community communications, and that is both the supply and demand side. I have no relationships to disclose. This is the outline of my presentation, so I'm not going to go too much into it. What I'm going to present a bit has to do with voice and accountability in health, and I just thought to provide some of the definitions we used for our project. So for voice is when citizens place a lot of pressure on providers and policy makers in order for health services to be improved. I know that in the US, for example, this is quite common, but in low-income countries like Nigeria, it is not a common occurrence. And of course, accountability is where people, organizations with authority also provide services to the best of their ability. So how was Nigerian context? This was some of the highlights from a situation analysis in 2008 when we started this intervention. So of course we had a very low level of awareness of health rights among communities and individuals. And then citizens too had a limited sense of entitlement to quality health services. They didn't even understand what quality health services means and what to expect from their service providers. Few community engagement platforms were available. Those engagement platforms that were supposed to engage health services, and even in those few, there was limited participation in decision making. So they were basically focused on their own issues within communities, not health issues. They did not have the skills or confidence to even hold government or providers accountable to provide quality services. And then the membership of these community groups were basically village heads and elites in the society. So what we did in the project was to focus a voice and accountability work stream. As I said, this is just one of the very many work streams in the project. And the focus was to improve relationships between clients or citizens and service providers, that is at the facility level, and then at the systems level also try to improve the relationship between the citizens and the state or policy making and government bodies. And then the aim was to actually promote a social accountability in general across the states. The approach we undertook was adapting the World Bank Accountability Triangle. There's an accountability triangle developed by World Bank, and in order to understand voice and responsiveness in service delivery. So some of the three main adaptations we made was, one, to reflect the environment within which this accountability exists, because in countries like Nigeria, the environmental context was very critical. We also were able to recognize the interactive and dynamic nature of accountability relationships, because there were quite a number of relationships between spouses and also within between facility providers and clients. And then we also emphasized on the political nature of accountability and the power dynamics, which are integral part of accountability relationships. This is the accountability triangle that we worked with, looking at both the access to information and then the enabling environment. So what did we do? We had two areas of accountability interventions, which we call the short route and long route accountability interventions. And in terms of the short route of interventions, is where the citizens actually link improvements or of services directly to service providers, because those are close to them. And then the long route accountability is where the citizens themselves claim these improvements from policymakers, who then pressure the health providers and managers to improve services at health service delivery points. So these facility health committees is just one of the interventions. It is an intervention that is directly a short route accountability intervention, and the idea is to enable citizens participate in the health service delivery at the community level. And it consists of a group of volunteers that represent communities, because in each of the facility health committees, so what we did was in the health facilities that we were working, that is the service delivery points, where we had the supply side interventions, the demand side was also part of this. So one of the, what we noticed was that there was a structure called the Ward Development Committee already existing. So we selected, we kind of built capacity of members of the Ward Development Committee to focus on these to specific health facilities. And then again, members were between 12 and 15, and we ensured that at least a quarter of these were women, because women did not have a voice in most of this healthcare decision making. Some of the functions of the of this committee was to express the views and concerns of the communities, because most of them actually represented one or two kind of individuals in the community. And then what they do is to work towards finding solutions or barriers people encounter when using facilities. They're also informing communities about what is happening, so actually taking the information from the communities to the facilities, and also helping the facilities to be responsive to these challenges or problems individuals and community members face. And then they also advocate to the government, so it's two levels, advocacy with the providers and advocacy with the governments. And then because they are based in the facilities, they bring communities actually to the heart of operations of these health facilities, which was quite rare at the beginning of our project. So these were some of the steps of establishing the facility health committees. One of them was a community networking visit, you know, that entailed going to meet the gatekeepers, the religious traditional rulers. And then there was also the community forum to express and provide information about what this committee is supposed to be tackling. We did some training of trainers also to existing civil society organizations, and then the facility health committee members were also trained for 3 days, and then continuous mentoring for a few months, about 3 months, just to ensure that they were quite comfortable with their roles. The number of committees we set up in the 5 states we worked in Nigeria were up to 714. So how did we assess the performance of these health committees? We actually selected what we called operational areas. One of them was the issue about improving the management of the health facility. So how they focused, or how they were able to work around improving facility management. And this includes also having health workers present and not become absent while on duty. And the second operational area was involving communities in decision making of health facilities, while the third one was increasing access. So they also worked in providing information and mobilizing communities to better access healthcare services, letting them know the services that are, you know, from the free healthcare services and their rights. So some of the results that were achieved were that when we measured the performance of these committees against those three operational areas, we realized that within the lifetime of the project, more than 90% of these committees actually performed very well against all the three operational areas. So we saw that some of them actually performed more than nearly 100%. Again, the facility health committees that advocated to the facilities were about 80%. So that means that the issues that they took from the communities to the facilities And then those that advocated to the government, which was a bit, we thought was going to be more difficult, but it was actually quite higher, up to 84%. What were the issues that were raised by these facility health committees? Interestingly, or rather, we weren't surprised that one of the major areas was premises, you know, so the infrastructure around health facilities, which in areas or countries like Nigeria, we had very poor infrastructure. And then the amenities also in terms of the water availability, power supply, that is the blue shade, 22%. Then we also had issues of staff presence, because accountability was very poor, so the staff in the health facilities, in the public health facilities, were not always available. Based on all the issues they raised, we also measured the responsiveness of both the health facilities and the government as a result of the advocacy of this committee. And if you note that the first three set of graphs, bars, the amenities, premises, and equipment, we see that the number or percentage of responsiveness is very low, because it entails higher investment to improve amenities and premises. But for example, staff attitude and staff presence, a lot of the issues that were brought up were actually resolved by both them, especially within the health facilities itself. These are some of the qualitative examples of the positive change that we were able to achieve from these committees. I'll just read one of them, which is the one that we said the Facility Health Committee from Jigawa State, one of the states that we worked in. We said our committee met two times with one of the staff who was not coming to work without a reason. A meeting was called to resolve the problem, and now he performs his work as expected. So virtually what happens was that they became like part of the operations of the facilities. So some of the lessons we learned was that when you have a close relationship, when the community has close relationship with health facilities, it is quite effective in improving their responsiveness, and is seen as more helpful rather than as a watchdog, because it's part of them. And then the members of these committees are not paid, so these are some of the lessons we learned. But the issue, what was really motivating them was that the communities actually recognized them, made them feel very important, because they were the ones that were kind of moving their issues to the facilities. And then we saw that multiple initiatives, especially implemented across the accountability landscape, because it wasn't only to the health facilities, because there was a limit to what they could do and the decisions they could take, but also at the government level, there was a lot of accountability, and there was quite some responsiveness. We learned that the facility health committees, are a very essential platform for communities and service providers to come together and dialogue, which was very, very rare in most of our states before then. So this is just in my conclusion, where we had a picture of some of the women, most of the women here that were members of the Facility Health Committee together with the men. This is also quite rare, especially in the northern part of Nigeria, where men and women do not normally come together to discuss some of these issues. So we learned that actually citizens' participation contributes to improving the delivery of services in communities. And we also learned that when you sustain community engagement, it's very effective in improving services at poor communities especially. So I leave you with this quote, which I'm not going to read, but it's from one of the imams, which is a religious leader in one of our states, talking about the role of facility health committees in that state. Thank you very much.
Let's give a hand to all the presenters.